Welcome to the True Crime Cafe. I'm Becky.
And I'm Angie, and you won't believe the case I have for you today.
So what do you have for me this week, Angie?
So where is, I don't know, one place that you would never expect to hear of a murder occurring?
I would say hospital, but after last week's episode, that's kind of out. A graveyard.
A bookstore.
Oh. You got my attention.
Okay. So, on November 30th, 2010, 64-year-old Sherry Black was working in the small independent bookstore that she owned in Salt Lake City, Utah. That morning, her husband Earl arrived home from a meeting and walked into a horrific scene. He found Sherry in the store, beaten and stabbed to death. Earl immediately called 911, but it was too late.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. So everyone, including the investigators, were completely baffled as to why anyone would want to harm this wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. She was known for keeping to herself, which made her an unlikely victim of such a violent crime.
Yeah, and most bookstore owners that I've encountered, just not even as an author, just as someone who has always loved books, they are beloved by their community. Like, the bookstore is kind of a hub. Like, you'll have book club there. It's almost like an alternative to the library.
So, investigators combed the crime scene for clues, reviewed surveillance cameras from the area, interviewed neighbors. You know, the typical, hey, we're going to start this investigation. The only thing that they found was some blood on the doorframe that did not belong to Sherry.
Okay.
There was no sign of robbery. Like, money was still in the cash register, and there were things of value in the store that were left behind. As they typically do, the police also questioned Earl, who had been married to Sherry since high school and by all accounts had a very loving relationship.
Well, yeah, because the spouse is always the first one looked at. They're the closest to the
person.
Yeah, the person.
So the investigators believe that Sherry's murder was probably random and unplanned. However, that blood that was on the door frame was uploaded into CODIS.
Okay.
Where it continued to cycle through the system weekly, but no match was found.
And that, sadly, it's not unusual. Because we had the case, I think it was one of yours, where the murders went unsolved for decades, and then suddenly it was like a nephew of the murderer that finally made a hit.
In February of 2011, the police and the family reached out to a nonprofit organization that provides expert consultation on homicide investigation. These experts flew to Salt Lake City. They reviewed everything related to the case. And they believed the offender knew Sherry, that the crime was planned, and that the motivation was sexual in nature. Furthermore, they felt the offender was familiar with the area and was a younger male, no more than 19. Or if he was older than 19, he was mentally challenged.
You see my face. You know I have feelings.
What are your feelings?
Like, I'm thinking, if this were playing out like a movie plot or a book plot, was she having an affair? Was she, you know?
She'd been married since high school to the same man. She was 64.
It happens. I mean,
it happens, but generally 64-year-olds don't just go out and start having an affair.
Not with that much younger of a man. We watch enough true crime that nothing is off the table, sadly.
In 2017, Sorensen Labs, located in Utah, created a limited genetic profile from the DNA that was left behind at the crime scene. The police then hired Parabon Nano Labs to process the information available from the crime scene. I first heard about Parabon on 48 Hours, Dateline, one of them. where they can take pieces of the teeniest tiny genetic code and like they can give you a picture of what this person would probably look like right down to the color of their eyes. It's really, I don't want to say creepy, but it's fascinating for me.
Yeah. We've come so far from doing science experiments where we take the pin prick of our blood to find out what our blood type is under the microscope back in the 80s and early 90s. And just to think that back then, this would have been some Star Trek level stuff.
Uh-huh. So Parabon was able to create several age progression images of the perpetrator.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So in October of 2018, the lead detective began the process of genetic genealogy with Parabon. In the fall of 2020, the genealogist working with the detective noticed that there was a DNA profile in GEDmatch that was a lot closer to the perpetrator's profile than they had seen before. Now, during that 2 years from 2018 to 2020, this lead detective was working with this genealogist and he was flying all over the country interviewing potential suspects. This led to the detective going to Sacramento, California to interview the female donor. So the profile that was a very close match was an older lady. So while the detective was there, this lady's adult son was there too. They were all talking, and the donor's son mentioned that years ago, he had been told that he may have fathered a child, but then never heard anything else about it.
Oh.
So both of them agreed to provide a DNA swab. It was soon confirmed that the man was indeed the father of Sherry's killer.
How horrible to learn that, yes, it's confirmed you have a son and he's a murderer.
Mm-hmm. The suspects were able to obtain a sample of the suspect's DNA, which was then submitted to the state crime lab. Finally, after 10 years, Sherry's killer was identified as Adam DeBurro, who was 19 at the time of the murder. He had apparently been put up for adoption, had a not so great life with his adoptive family, and turns out his biological mother lived about a mile from where Sherry was killed.
Oh, that's horrible.
So he was arrested in October of 2020 and charged with Sherry's murder. 1 year later, he pleaded guilty to avoid going to trial. And then 4 months after that, he was officially sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So he will never get out of prison.
Good.
Killed somebody at 19, was arrested at 29, and he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison.
That's so sad.
So this sad story has a little bit of a silver lining in it.
Okay.
So Sherry Black's legacy lives on through the Sherry Black Foundation. The foundation's aim is to advance collaboration between experts and agencies to ensure a cross-agency method of solving crimes.
Wow.
And I visited the website, and like there's all kinds of information on it. And we'll link that on our resources page. So one of Sherry's granddaughters said it best. My grandma's body was robbed that day, but her goodness, her gentle strength, and her desire to do good was ignited in all of us who loved her so deeply. And that light will never be dimmed. Never. So out of this tragedy, the family has created this foundation with the goal of helping other families get these cross-agency resources. Because we're in 2023, we're midway through 2023, and we know that genetic genealogy and the use of DNA databases and stuff, that's a very, very common instrument for law enforcement.
Oh, yeah. And it's getting more popular by the day.
Mm-hmm. It is. So I thought it was interesting, like this case, the way the information is laid out on the website, it gives you basically that timeline. So, you know, there obviously there's more detailed information on the SherryBlackFoundation.com. But yeah, I thought it was a very interesting case in the way it was laid out. And like they took you step by step, basically through the process. Like this wasn't an easy case to solve.
Yeah. And when you said the other agency came, like the professional agency came to investigate, it immediately reminded me of the show Cold Justice, where Kelly, who I think is a former prosecutor, now all she does is travel around helping solve cold cases, which I think is awesome.
Yes. I always find it amazing when families of victims of violent crime can create foundations and stuff like this to honor their loved one, to keep their memory alive, and to not let the victim's death or whatever, it's something that happened to them, but it's not the defining thing.
Right.
You know, so.
I remember when my nephew was murdered at the end of 2007. We talked after the trial. It took like 18 months for the trial and everything to wrap up, which is incredibly quick in a murder trial.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But afterward, we had talked about maybe trying to talk to state politicians to try and put in a law where it would be a violent offender, like a violent crimes registry against children under the age of 18. Because this person who was convicted of murdering my nephew had murdered an infant before that and served time and got out. Yeah, it was the whole thing. But because of that, like he wasn't on a sex offender registry.
No, he wouldn't
and have been. No, and unless you knew his full name to Google him and knew some of the facts, he did not come up in any searches like that on just the nickname and last name that we had. So, and it was a family acquaintance. It is. So do we know, was this 19-year-old, when he killed her, did he know her or was it a random?
The one article I read said that it's believed that he had seen his biological mother that day and it had triggered him and he took it out on a stranger. Their website does not. Other than say it, as far as like what I was read, does not speak about him.
Yeah, so. That's fair. Yeah, it's just morbid curiosity on my part.
Yeah, and that was, I saw that and I'm like, murdered bookstore? What better murder case could I offer a writer?
Yeah, well, and you know, we have seen certain bookstores in your town, my town, between us, I'm like, oh, we have to go here together. We like bookstores are in the rank of order of things, the places we like to go. It's like coffee shops, Dollar Tree, bookstore. So,
yeah.
And if we had bigger budgets, it would be coffee shop, bookstore, Dollar Tree, but it's not. So, but yeah, that's very, very sad.
It is.
And sad for anyone in a community to be murdered, but especially someone who owns a bookstore, because like we said, it's especially if it's in a small town, that's kind of like the hub. Thank you, Angie. What I have for you next week won't take place in a bookstore, but there will probably be a murder.
Cool.
Stay caffeinated
and join us next time for another cup of crime.